God in your everyday life. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, church, it's powerful. When I am exhausted and weary and tired, praying in tongues brings refreshing to my spirit and soul. One of the greatest ways to relax and to be replenished and to be refreshed after a long, demanding day is to pray in the Holy Ghost. It's like being in a flowing river on a hot summer day. Paul the Apostle applied Isaiah 28 to the experience of speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14. In fact, Isaiah prophesied this, this rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, speaking in tongues. He prophesied this over in Isaiah 28. Turn over there, please. Isaiah 28, you'll see it. Man, you want to stay refreshed? How many of you want to stay refreshed? How many of you want to stay built up? You know, Paul said when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. You build up yourself on your most holy faith. How many know you need to be built up? Just like you put a battery on a charger. Some of us, man, I tell you, we're operating on one bar. And that bar is blinking. I'm tired, Jesus. I'm just so tired, Lord, I can't take it no more. I'm frustrated. Get on my nerves. Now, while your spirit is empty, you need to spend more time in this praying in the Holy Ghost to build you up, to be edified, recharged. Amen. Okay, look at this. Isaiah 28, and I'm almost finished. Are y'all getting this? He says, "Verily, very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the resting place. Let the weary rest." He said, this is the place of rest, praying in these foreign, these strange tongues. This is prophecy. Listen, I wanted to take this opportunity to share with you some exciting news. Abundant Life Church International is now streaming live. That's right, we are live streaming our services Sunday mornings at 11:30 and Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Also, every first Sunday at 6 p.m., we're streaming live our healing and miracle service. All you have to do is go to the website at www.edwardkirkpatrick.org. Information is on your screen, and there you can see the live stream link. Go there, and please be sure to follow us on live stream so we can send you updates of all of our live events. Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this special announcement. I look forward to seeing you real soon. So be sure to go to edwardkirkpatrick.org and click on the live streaming link. There you can find archived messages of services that you have missed. Friends, I'm excited about this opportunity that God has given us to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations of the world. Thank you in advance for your support. Remember, together we're changing lives one message at a time. Thank you.
Prophetic about the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongue. This is the place of rest, but they would not listen. So then the word of the Lord to them will become, do this, do that, a rule for this and a rule for that. He said, I wanted to give them rest, but they wouldn't listen. So now they got rules placed on them. Now they got all these rules, do this, do that. Now life is going to be about a bunch of rules and regulations instead of a rest and a refreshing in my presence. Glory to God. Boy, that's powerful. There are a lot of people living in legalism when God's trying to bring them into a place of rest. So Isaiah prophesied, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Speaking in tongues causes the river of God to flow through us, bringing refreshing and rest in the Lord. That's what Jesus prophesied in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. He talks about that this gift of the Holy Spirit would be like a river, flowing in you. Out of your belly, he says, shall flow rivers of living water, refreshing presence. So the gift of the Holy Spirit was prophesied by prophets and promised by Jesus. Let me take a quick look at this through the scriptures. Let's look at the prophecy of Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 12. He said, who is he? Who is it, rather, he is trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from their milk, to those just taken from the breast? For it is, do this, do that, a rule for this, a rule for that, a little here, a little there. Very well then, with foreign lips, strange tongues, God will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the resting place, let the weary rest. So notice here, this is the prophecy. This is the prophecy of Isaiah concerning the coming of this gift of tongues. And then we see the fulfillment of that prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14. Turn over there quickly. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21 and 22. He says, in the law it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners I will speak to this people. That's Isaiah. But even then they would not listen to me, saith the Lord. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So we see it prophesied in Isaiah. We see it fulfilled in 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go to Joel chapter 2. Let's see it again, prophesied. Now, all I'm doing today is just laying the scriptural foundation for this. And then we'll build upon this, and we'll give you all of the benefits, and we'll show you, amen, all of the many manifold purposes for praying in the Holy Spirit. This is so important, church. I want us to be so conscious of this and start exercising in this in our daily lives. Because it's going to make a world of difference in your spirit. Your spiritual growth, maturity, it's going to make a world of difference. All right, look at verse 28, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. All right, let's see that. Let's see the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter number 2. So it was prophesied in Joel 2 about the Spirit being poured out upon all flesh. And now we're going to see it fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
All right, verse 16 and 17. He said in verse 16, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. You know, Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd because they thought they were drunk because they heard him speaking in tongues and, you know, acting a little weird. And, you know, Peter stood up and said, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is not a strange experience here on the day of Pentecost. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. So it was prophesied in Joel chapter 2. It was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Everybody see that? All right, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 36. Verse 27. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanliness and I will call for the grain and make it plentiful. And will not bring famine upon you. Boy, look at that promise. Woo, boy, look at that promise. Look what he said, church. Look what he said again in verse 27. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. See, you can't be moved to follow the decrees of God without the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who enables you to live this life, to be holy. Amen. To live a righteous life before the Lord. Now, let's see the fulfillment of Ezekiel 36 in St. John chapter 14. Turn to St. John chapter 14. Glory be to God. Man, this is powerful.
Amen.
We got to lay this foundation in order to go forward. Because if the foundation is faulty, then the house we build upon it won't last. All right, look what he said in verse 17. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Why? For he lives with you and will be where? In you. Now notice what he's referred to, the Spirit of truth. Notice where he's going to be, with you and in you. Didn't Ezekiel prophesy that he will put his spirit in us? So he said, Jesus fulfilled it and said, he's going to be in you. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. We see a prophecy here, Matthew chapter 3, concerning the Holy Spirit. Verse 11. I will baptize you with water for repentance,
This is John the Baptist. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let's see the fulfillment of this. Go to Acts chapter 11. He said, listen, I baptize you with water, but when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Ooh, Jesus. Look at verse 16. I'm in Acts chapter 11, verse 16. Then I remember. When did he remember? As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he came on us at the beginning. Paul said, I was preaching this message and the Holy Ghost fell on these Gentiles. Then I remember what the Lord has said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Go to Acts the 10th chapter. We see it prophesied in Matthew 3 by John the Baptist about the coming of the Holy Spirit with fire. And now we see it fulfilled in Acts 11 and in Acts chapter 10. Are y'all hearing me here? Look at verse 45. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Amen. 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 Then the last one we see, Jesus prophesied the coming of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 7. Turn over there quickly. John chapter 7. St. John chapter 7. Verses 37 through 39. On the last and great day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. And then we see this promise fulfilled. You can write these scriptures down for the sake of time. St. John chapter 14, verses 16, 17, and verse 26. St. John 14, verse 16 and 17, and verse 26. St. John chapter 15. Verse 26, St. John chapter 16, verse 7, St. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and verse 8. Now, all of these scriptures I just gave you were prophecies by Jesus concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we see all of these prophecies fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Write this down. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And Acts chapter 19. Verses 1 through 6. Now, let me make this statement in closing. The promise of the Holy Spirit is to all and for all generations. Okay? This experience did not stop with the apostles like some would teach. The people who heard Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit were convicted of their sins, and they cried out to Peter asking, what must we do to get right with God and receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit you've just experienced? And I want you to turn to Acts 2, and I want you to see, why should believers speak in tongues? Well, you know what? Write this down. I don't have time to look at that. But write down Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. And let me share with you, two reasons at least why believers should speak in tongues. That was Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. Number one, here's the first reason I believe believers should speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is proof that a person has received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is proof. It is not the only proof, but it is proof. It is proof. Speaking in tongues is proof that a person has received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me make this clear to you. Remember what I said some weeks ago. God's greatest gift to the world, God's, the Father's greatest gift to the world was Jesus. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. So God's greatest gift to the world was Jesus. Jesus's greatest gift to the church was the Holy Spirit. Remember what he told his disciples? He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Amen. It is expedient that I go away. For if I don't go, then the comforter, the Holy Spirit, cannot come. So Jesus's greatest gift to us, the church, was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's greatest gift to the individual believer was the gift of tongues. Amen. So God the Father gave us his greatest gift, which was Jesus. Jesus gave us his greatest gift, which was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gave us his greatest gift, which was the ability to pray in our spirit language. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
So, number one, speaking in tongues is proof that a person has received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is proof. All throughout the scripture, I think there are five recorded instances in the Bible. I think there's five recorded instances in the Bible where people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And out of the five instances, three of those instances directly speak to the fact that they spoke in tongues. The other two make it kind of points to the fact or hints to the fact that they spoke in tongues because the Bible said they saw something or they heard something. Well, what did they see? What did they hear? Well, based on the three examples we have, amen, in scripture, they had to have spoken tongues. Amen? So, write these scriptures down for the sake of time. Don't have time to look at them. St. John 14, verses 16 and 17. St. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. And also verse 26 of St. John 14. And then St. John chapter 16, verse 7. Luke 24:49, Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. All right, number two, here's the second reason why believers should speak in tongues. So the first reason is what? Speaking in tongues is proof that a person has received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the gift of the Holy Spirit is for every Christian to receive and practice just as every born-again Christian is to receive water baptism. Now, let me say something about this. I don't want you to hear me wrongly. If a person doesn't receive water baptism, does that make that person not saved? No. There are certain denominational persuasions that will teach you that if you're not baptized in water, you're not going to heaven. That is not the scripture. Jesus didn't say that. He said if you don't believe, you'll be condemned. He didn't say if you don't believe and if you're not water baptized, you'll be condemned. He just said if you don't believe. The only prerequisite for going to heaven is to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I don't believe that every Christian, you don't have to be baptized in water in order to be a Christian or to go to heaven. I believe every Christian should be baptized in water. I believe that. You should be. But if you don't, that's not going to keep you out of heaven. Same thing is true with the gift of the Holy Spirit. If a person doesn't speak in tongues, does that say he or she doesn't have the Holy Spirit? No, you have the Holy Spirit. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved on. No man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. Jesus said, except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me? But now, do I believe every Christian should speak in tongues? Yes. I believe you should. Why? Because there are benefits. That's like going on a job. Okay, what type of job would you prefer to have? Would you prefer to have a job that pays you $24 an hour with no benefits? Or a job that pays you, let's say, $24 an hour with benefits? Which one you want to take? You want the benefits. You want the health care. You want the dental. You want all the stuff that comes with it. The 401k, whatever else they offer. Amen. So they're Christians who are saved, but they're not operating in the benefits.
The psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There are benefits in this salvation package. And praying in tongues is one of them, praise God.
Listen, I wanted to take this opportunity to share with you some exciting news. Abundant Life Church International is now streaming live. That's right, we are live streaming our services Sunday mornings at 11:30 and Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Also, every first Sunday at 6 p.m., we're streaming live our healing and miracle service. All you have to do is go to the website at www.edwardkirkpatrick.org. Information is on your screen, and there you can see the live stream link. Go there, and please be sure to follow us on live stream so we can send you updates of all of our live events. Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this special announcement. I look forward to seeing you real soon. So be sure to go to edwardkirkpatrick.org and click on the live streaming link. There you can find archived messages of services that you have missed. Friends, I'm excited about this opportunity that God has given us to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations of the world. Thank you in advance for your support. Remember, together we're changing lives, one message at a time. Thank you. And I want all the benefits that come with the package. Are you listening to me? So then, it is essential that we be thoroughly established in the biblical truth of the gift of the Holy Spirit, know its purpose, and understand all the valuable benefits of praying in our spirit language. Write down Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14, 14. Now listen, the manifestation that come with the gift of the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues. In every instance we see, except with two, the Bible gives direct reference to the fact they spoke with other tongues. It was not the wind or the fire or the noise or the feeling. It wasn't God's presence that was the evidence of the gift being received, but the spirit language that caused the believers all to begin speaking in tongues. That was the evidence. On the day of Pentecost, how did they know that they had experienced what Jesus had promised them? How did they know they had received what Jesus had promised? When they spoke in tongues. It wasn't the wind that came through the house. It was the tongues of fire that set upon each of them. And that's what brought the entire, all the nations from around the world to that place on Pentecost. And they said, wow, look at this. Something supernatural is happening. For we hear everyone speaking in our own language. Praise God. Now, let me say this. The Gentiles, when they spoke in tongues, it was what convinced the Apostle Peter that the Gentile people could become children of God without being proselyte Jews first. Because they said, wow, the Holy Spirit has come on them too, just like on us. Amen. Now, when you begin to understand this incredible gift, this awesome gift that God has given to us, that it is not just for the apostles and for those in the early church, but this gift is for every born again believer, praise God. And you too can operate in this level, and you can begin to pray, and you can begin to exercise your faith. You can begin to build yourself up. You can begin to experience the rest and the refreshing that comes from praying in tongues. You too can begin to speak the mysteries of God. You too can begin to tap into the mind of God for your family, the mind of God for your business, the mind of God for your life. You too can begin to receive divine guidance and supernatural direction that come from praying in tongues. Amen. And I'm telling you, when you begin to pray in your spirit language, that's going to be a world, a supernatural world of God opening up to you, things you've never seen or experienced before, and you're going to begin to walk in such blessing and power and favor and grace. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. You begin to experience what I call sweatless victory. Things will begin to happen without sweating. Amen. The struggle will be taken out of life because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. He already knows about the things you're going through. He already knows about the problems you're facing. And Paul said, every time you pray in tongues, you pray the perfect prayer. You pray concerning the things
that are most important to God. See, you can go down and pray in your native tongue, and you can pray out of the flesh. You can pray out of your own carnal desires. But every time you pray in the Spirit, you are praying exactly what the Father wants to hear. Because the Holy Spirit and the Father are one. I'd rather pray a perfect prayer than to try to have a hit and miss proposition. On today and off tomorrow. No, I'd just rather pray and hit the bullseye every single time. Why not just pray perfectly? Amen. And pray about things that you don't even know about right now. Let God cover everything in your life, all of the issues of your life, and watch the power of God operate for you. Let's give God a hand clap of praise, everybody. Amen. Praise God. This is a powerful gift. It is a tremendous privilege that the Holy Spirit has given to us. And listen, we need to fully take advantage of this awesome opportunity we have to talk to God on a supernatural level, to pray, amen, the perfect prayer, to tap into power, to tap into wisdom, to tap into graces that God wants us to tap into. And I'm going to tell you something. When you begin to pray in tongues and make it a daily habit, your spiritual maturity is going to excel. You're going to grow spiritually beyond anything you've ever imagined. Those who pray in the Spirit often, I found they are more spiritually advanced than those who don't. That's my experience. Well, praise the Lord, and thank you so much for joining me today. I trust that you've been inspired and encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like to receive this message in its entirety, call the number on your screen. Perhaps you're watching today's broadcast and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You know, the Bible said if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Would you please repeat this after me? Believe it in your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead. I repent of my sins. Come into my life, be my Lord and be my Savior. Amen. Friend, if you pray that prayer, let me be the first to say welcome to the family of God. Also, I want to take this opportunity to personally invite you and your family to come and join me at any of our services. We have two services, 8 and 11 a.m. Every Wednesday evening at 7:15 p.m. we have Bible study. And also, every first Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. we have a healing and miracle service. God is manifesting His power in such awesome ways. I'd love to meet you in any of those anointed services. Also, I want to encourage you, if you have been watching this broadcast and this broadcast has been a blessing to you, won't you prayerfully consider sowing a seed into this ministry? You can go to our website at edwardkirkpatrick.org and give online. Go there today, sow your seed, and I stand in agreement with you for the 100-fold return. Well, friend, I've got to go for now, but until next week, I'm Edward Kirkpatrick reminding you that God loves you and so do I. Bye-bye.